From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to a broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he continues this series in the book of Joshua, Dr. Cairns is bringing a message entitled, Judgment Inescapable for Condemned Sinners. The text is chapter 10, verses 16 through 27. As defeat in their battle with the army of Israel became apparent, the five heathen kings who had initiated the conflict hid themselves in a cave, hoping to escape from Joshua. Yet when the battle ended, Joshua did discover them, and they were put to death. From this account, Dr. Cairns has been drawing some sobering spiritual lessons regarding those who think they can escape the judgment of God. The first truth about those pagan kings is that they were under condemnation for their sin against God. So all who are born into this world are condemned sinners, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Those kings first attempted to fight against Joshua and the army of Israel. In their rebellion, sinners try to fight against God, a battle they cannot win. Like those kings, sinners flee to what the Bible calls a refuge of lies, trying to convince themselves that God will not judge them for their wickedness. The attempt is futile, for no one can escape from God. Dr. Cairns will return to the message in a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning. This morning's text comes from 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 1. The Sweet Psalmist of Israel. Among all the saints whose lives are recorded in Holy Writ, David possesses an experience of the most striking, varied, and instructive character. In his history, we meet with trials and temptations not to be discovered as a whole in other saints of ancient times, and hence he is all the more suggestive a type of our Lord. David knew the trials of all ranks and conditions of men. Kings have their troubles, and David wore a crown. The peasant has his cares, and David handled the shepherd's crook. The wanderer has many hardships, and David abode in the caves of En-Gedi. The captain has his difficulties, and David found the sons of Zeruiah too hard for him. The psalmist was also tried in his friends. His counselor Ahithophel forsook him. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. His worst foes were they of his own household. His children were his greatest affliction. The temptations of poverty and wealth, of honor and reproach, of health and weakness, all tried their power upon him. He had temptations from without to disturb his peace, and from within to mar his joy. David no sooner escaped from one trial than he fell into another. No sooner emerged from one season of despondency and alarm than he was again brought into the lowest depths, and all God's waves and billows rolled over him. It is probably from this cause that David's psalms are so universally the delight of experienced Christians. Whatever our frame of mind, whether ecstasy or depression, David has exactly described our emotions. He was an able master of the human heart. Because he had been tutored in the best of all schools, the school of heartfelt, personal experience. As we are instructed in the same school, as we grow matured in grace and in years, we increasingly appreciate David's psalms and find them to be green pastures. My soul, let David's experience cheer and counsel thee this day.
With a heart of earnest faith, this joyous anthem raise. With a glorious
From time to time, here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include such issues as, what is the gospel? Why did Christ have to be virgin-born? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? What's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. As we've mentioned, all of these video clips have been available on the LTBSradio.com website. Now we're pleased to make available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy of Q&A with Alan Cairns free of charge simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD of Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email ltbs@freepress.org. That's ltbs@freepress.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Finally, if you wish, you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day.
says, there is none righteous, none that doeth good, none that seeketh after God, none, but that is a sinner. And to all this open sin, the added sin against grace and gospel. If the law of God reckons men to be sinners and exposes their sin, how much more the gospel? If it is crime to walk by Mount Sinai and trample the law of God beneath ungodly feet, how much greater is the crime of walking by Mount Calvary and trampling the blood of the Son of God beneath your feet? There are people in this meeting this morning who have been brought up under the sound of the gospel of grace. They have had every tender invitation the grace of God can afford. They have had every advantage that an open Bible and a preached gospel can give. And to the sins of wicked ungodliness, they have added that of despising the grace of God. They have counted the blood of the covenant as an unclean thing. And they have said, we will not have this man to reign over us. That's why the Lord Jesus said, he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. What an insight into the life of the ungodly. How differently does the Lord Jesus look at your life if you're not a Christian than the way you look at it? The ungodly look at themselves as being in the ballroom of the world's entertainment. The Lord Jesus says, all you've done is shut yourself up into a cave like the kings at Makeda, and you're sealed for judgment. What a picture. Condemned already. Condemned and awaiting the execution of judgment. All because of sin. The second thing I note is that these kings sought to escape that judgment by fight and then by flight. And they proved the folly of both. They set out, first of all, to fight Joshua. And there was only one end to that fight. It was ignominious failure on their part. So having fought and lost, they then betook themselves to flight. And they thought that they would save themselves from the sword of divine vengeance by flight from Joshua. But that also ended in utter failure. Again, what a picture of the natural man. What a picture of men and women, even in this meeting this morning. The same two responses to God's Joshua. Remember what I've been pointing out? That Joshua is the name Jesus. And the Joshua of the Old Testament is a glorious picture for us of the Jesus of the New Testament, as Paul points out in the fourth chapter of Hebrews. So, this is no fanciful interpretation. This, in fact, is a history of what has happened every time the greater Joshua, the Lord Jesus Christ, has advanced with his kingdom of grace. Instead of falling down before him in repentance, crying for mercy, sinners, first of all, fight against their God. Wonder, am I speaking to somebody here this morning in your life? Has been one constant battle against God. Battling against the law of God. Battling against the influence of God. Battling against the voice of God. Battling against the gospel of God. Battling against the people of God. There has been this resentment, this constant fight. You're determined. I will not have Christ. I will not bow to this gospel. I am going to battle. Let me tell you, my friend, no man can fight with the God of heaven and win. No man can take up arms against the King of glory and win. The end of that battle is always utter, total, complete, and irreversible failure. Perhaps feeling you've lost the battle, you've taken yourself to flight. You're fleeing away from God, running away from God, trying to escape from God, trying to escape from the gospel and its influence, trying to escape the stirring of the conscience that every time this book and this gospel bring to your heart. Is that your position today? Listen to the words of the psalmist. While these are words of great comfort for a Christian, they're words of great condemnation for a sinner. In the Psalm 139, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee." Where will you go to hide from God? Where will you run next to get away from the Savior? You've fought him and failed. The only injury you've inflicted is injury in yourself. You've fled. No matter where you go, you've not been able to flee from God. No matter what darkness, what secrecy you enter into, even there, he has found you out. Let me tell you, my friend, if you cannot fight the gospel and you cannot flee the gospel, you cannot fight the judgment and you cannot flee from the judgment. When God tells the angel to put the trumpet to his lips, and that great long blast from heaven rends the earth, where will you flee from the judgment of God? When God puts his finger in your soul and says, "Man or woman, this night thy soul shall be required of thee," where will you flee from the judgment of God? These kings proved the folly both of fight and of flight as a response to the advance of Joshua. Then the third thing I note is that they sought to hide from the judgment, but they trusted in a false refuge. They knew that the judgment was coming. They knew that the vengeance of God had been threatened against them. They knew that Joshua would execute it. And so they entered into the place of refuge. They sought out a safety from judgment. They seized the promised security of the cave of Makeda. But it was a false hope. It was the wrong thing to do. I think of the words of the prophet Isaiah. He's quoting from Jehovah himself in Isaiah 28:17. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. And heel shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. Think of that little phrase, the refuge of lies. What is a refuge of lies? It is a false hiding place where people have fled to get ease for their conscience, to stultify the convictions of the gospel, to dim their brain to the reality of their need of Christ, and to dull their heart to the impending judgment of God. The refuge of lies is a place to which people have recourse in order to make themselves feel safe, even though they are thundering down the road to a lost eternity. A refuge of lies. By man's standards, it appears a perfectly safe place to be. By man's standards, it appears a perfectly good thing to do. But God says, judgment will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. He's drawing his figure of speech from the construction industry. And he's talking about how a builder will build and make sure that everything is plumb and everything goes by the standard. In this case, the plumb line is the plumb line of the law of God and the righteousness of God. And God says, when I set up judgment by the inflexible standard of divine righteousness, I will, in the heel of my wrath, sweep away every refuge of lies. How many are trusting in such a refuge this morning?
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.